on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from our nation's capital, this is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast with Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and Monsignor Charles Pope.
And good morning. It is indeed Friday. It's the July 12th, and we begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we're aware that there's a rather large storm coming into a fragile part of our country down in Louisiana. And we ask, Lord, for mercy, for grace, and for relief from the worst of that this storm could offer. And we ask, Lord, that all the people will be protected by the help of your grace and through the ministry of your holy angels. So, Lord, please protect the people along the Gulf Coast from the storm through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. The arrogant smear me with lies. With all my heart, I keep your precepts. Their heart is dense like fat, but your law is my delight. It was good for me to be humbled, that I might learn your statutes. The law from your mouth means more to me than large quantities of silver and gold.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you, dropping some knowledge with those with those psalms, Deacon. That's beautiful. But, you know, I tend to think fat sometimes can taste good. I'll say fat tastes good, man. But that reminds you the importance of being with the Lord. And I also like that he talks about he doesn't mind being humbled, right? Well, you know, I need to be humbled to learn your precepts. You know, beautiful, beautiful. Something for us to think about on this Friday morning. You know, I'm just excited about what we're going to be talking about today on the show. And I know, Monsignor, you always get deep when you start talking about things. So looking forward to that.
Well, we'll talk about the plot of sacred scripture. And, you know, plots what make makes a movie or a story interesting. It's what unites all the aspects of that story. And I think a lot of people have kind of lost a sense of what is the fundamental plot of sacred scripture. So we'll talk about that.
And we're also going to talk about a really interesting story out of New York, where New York Police Department officers actually are showing compassion to a shoplifter. So we'll get into that. Now, you know, I also was thinking about how they were doing a corporal work of mercy by feeding the hungry as well. So this will be a fun story to talk about later on in the show.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll also talk about things you can do with your children before they grow up. You know, we're not talking about taking them to soccer or going to their play. I mean, things you do as a family. What kinds of things you can do to really build up family time, quality family time with your children, so that they're bringing these memories into their own families when they become adults. So it was a wonderful story for a Friday.
I'm going to have my pen and paper out, Deacon, when we go over that. Because, you know, I got a little one, so I'll be writing all these things down. I need some suggestions. And also, we would love to hear from you, our listeners. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. You can also text us by texting the letters EWTN to the number 55000. Wait for a response, then text your first name, how you are listening, and a comment. And we're also on Twitter at EWTN Radio. You can look for us, hashtag Morning Glory. I'll be trying to tweet all the stories that we talk about so you can see them at Gloria_Purvis. You know, it's a Friday, and I know people are like, yeah, Friday, it's the weekend, baby. So I want to know, what are you guys doing this weekend?
Well, you know, we clergy, our weekends aren't, but I have a wedding, and that's good, but it also is going to involve a little bit of extra travel for me, but it's going to be good. It's always nice to have a wedding.
And I'm just going to be in the parish, you know, which is great. You know, so
that is
I'll
news.
Be preaching.
You'll be home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll be preaching this weekend. Last night, actually, I spoke at a parish up in North Plains, Oregon. That's out by Hillsborough, out by Intel, on the area out there, which was great. It was a free talk. I just did it for the person there was very generous to the Catholic radio station during the share-a-thon. And I said, I'll go out and give a talk at your parish. So they have this kind of summer adult faith formation series. I went and talked about the basic principles of Catholic social justice and a lot of Morning Glory fans. It was great.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So it was wonderful to be with the people and get their feedback about the show. And so just a shout out to my to my Oregon homies who came to the talk last night.
You know, Oregon and homies are not two words I would have to go together, right? But you make it work, Deacon. That's what I love. You make it work. You know, I have to say that the people in Oregon don't realize what a treat that was to be able to hear you. I mean, if you've never heard Deacon Harold preach, you just got to get to the next time he comes your way. I mean, I don't care if it's 100 miles. Y'all need to drive. I've heard Deacon Harold, and I know Deacon Harold personally, and I'm telling you, even though I know him personally, I'm in there, like, shaking. The hairs on the back of my neck, I don't have many, y'all, are standing on end, because the Holy Spirit just uses him and just sets the whole place on fire. I mean, the truth that he drops. Y'all, don't let me start going off here. Don't let me start preaching. Don't let me start. But all I got to say is, if you ever get a chance to be anywhere near where Deacon Harold is preaching, you have got to get there. Got to get there. My weekend, well, today my daughter's having the last day of her vacation Bible school, and they're having a, I don't know if it's a festival or a fair or whatever, but we're going to go to that and have that celebration. I know she earned a whole bunch of tickets that she could redeem. I'm hoping there are no rides. I don't do carnival rides. That's at a carnival. I don't do carnival rides and stuff like that. So, yeah, nah. But that's basically it for my weekend. That's all we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, tonight I'm going to be on Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a hoot. Y'all have got to tune in for that and send your comments, call in, all that. Love to hear from the Morning Glory listeners tonight. Yeah, how's it? I'm up early and then going to be doing something 6 o'clock this evening. Should be sleeping, but, you know, Energizer Bunny here when it comes to Catholic stuff. But, yeah. Boy, the news has been interesting. One of the news stories about this teacher in South Carolina at a Catholic high school in South Carolina whose contract was not renewed because of her post on Facebook in support of abortion rights. Guess what? That's my high school. That's my alma mater, Bishop England High School in Charleston, South Carolina. Elizabeth Cox taught there for 16 years. I was already gone 16 years ago, okay? And she was informed her contract wouldn't be renewed. And so, you know, she put things that, and they attached some of the Facebook posts to her contract. And she had things in her Facebook post that were like, before a man, young man could get a gun, he needs to be treated like a young woman that's seeking an abortion. And then she lists a whole bunch of stuff like he should be shouted down and called a murderer and shown pictures of people whose lives have been lost due to gun violence. And then she has another one that says, I believe you're pro-life when you ban guns, when you have health care for all, when you care about, you know, those kinds of things. And then she also had a post, by the way, the post on the treating a young man like guns was a quote from Gloria Steinem. And she mentions Gloria Steinem and says she's got it just exactly right. And then the last, comment they showed to her was a story she'd posted about Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live doing, I guess, parodying or making fun of Alabama's abortion ban. Mm-hmm. And she's suing and wants to be reinstated in her job. So we'll be praying for all the people at Bishop England.
Yeah, you know, the idea that a person has a right to free speech is one thing, but it's not just a free-floating thing. For example, I couldn't get on the air here and just say anything I want on Morning Glory's time or EWTN's time, and if I did, they have a right to fire me. You know, I mean, if it's one thing to say I have a constitutional right to do something, but it doesn't mean I have a right to just do it on anybody else's dime or anybody else's time. So I think that's kind of I have a right to free speech. Well, in certain, you know, but you have to exercise it at the proper time.
Well, her issue, the thing she's going to have an issue with is what her contract says. In her duties, the teacher understands that the fundamental mission of the school is the intellectual and spiritual development of students. And as such, by virtue of such employment, they are actively engaged in pastoral ministry and the formation of God's people. Therefore, they agree that she or he will at all times publicly speak and act in accordance with the missions teachings of the Roman Catholic Church as set forth in sacred scripture and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That's going to be, I think, a really hard one, that she's considered a minister, and she signed that she would act publicly. And so these were public Facebook posts, and that's what's getting her into trouble.
Yeah, she can exercise her rights, but she can't expect to do that and work at a Catholic institution. I mean, I would love to see a case like this if this was a Muslim school. or a Protestant school. I know there's Protestant schools that have same thing. They have to sign any teacher that they don't mind Catholics teaching.
Yeah.
At maybe some, but they have to sign a thing that you're not going to teach anything against what we believe here. You know what I'm saying? So, and if they sign that and they agree to it, then they have to abide by what they sign.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that's in the news today is, you know, there's some ICE crackdown, so to speak, coming this week. It's been announced. This is, if you're here illegally, we have a list of about 2,000 people we're focusing on, and we're going to come and try to find you. And one of the things that I want to say that in this debate, there's a great deal of politics involved. Now, what's interesting is, and any quick glance at the internet will show you this, that Trump's numbers of deportation are actually lower than President Obama's. And so this has been very politicized. This is something that our nation has done and has to do to enforce the laws and so on. I just want to one more time say, though, to Catholics, I'm very optimistic about our immigrants. I love our immigrants. And I think that our role as Catholics is to stay away from the political things primarily and focus on this. The Catechism calls our nation to be a generous nation. Allow as many people as reasonably possible, but it also calls for immigrants to obey just laws and follow procedures that a nation justly sets up. Both principles are important, and so the deportations are for those who are here illegally, and particularly those who have committed crimes that they're going after. So that's in the news today. I just thought I'd mention it from a Catholic perspective.
I think they're looking at it. They say about 2,000 people on the list. Across 10 major cities is who they're looking for. So if it's, you know, people that are not here legally who have committed crimes, and that's who they're targeting, and looking at 2,000 people to be removed from the country.
That is a lot more than 2,000 illegals. So there must be a reason why they're going after that specific, those specific folks.
That's true.
But also in the news is, Planned Parenthood activist and supporter Miley Cyrus, you know, the popular singer, who just recently got married. Said that she will not consider having a child due to global warming-related anxiety, vowing not to reproduce until she's confident that her offspring can, according to her, quote, live on an earth with fish in the water. She just did a long interview with a women's magazine, and she kind of conflagrated feminism and climate change. Together and saying that the assigning a female gender to the planet, warning against mankind's destruction of it, saying that we've been the same thing to the earth that we've been doing to women.
She better hope that that the planet doesn't act like her and say, I have a choice to get rid of all of you. You know, you're using my body without my permission. Oh, Miley, we're going to pray for you and your husband, Liam Hemsworth. Y'all wake up. Have some babies.
Hysterics there, Well, look, when we come back, we're going to talk about the plot of sacred scripture. We'll talk about what that means and why it's important.
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. It's quarter after. We're with you 24/7. Download the EWTN app for today's Morning Glory. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
You know, that's true. That EWTN app has been a lifesaver. I have a purse that I could probably fit Deacon Harold and Monsignor Pope in it. And my husband is so thankful for the EWTN app because that's one less thing that I'd have to carry. I don't have to carry my Bible in my purse because the EWTN app has that as well. And you can listen to Morning Glory at any time if you have that app. I am Gloria Purvis, and I am joined by my dynamic Deacon Harold is my co-host. He's world-traveling, globe-trotting Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And we've got Monsignor Charles Pope with us as our godly counsel. He's the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Church right here in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, I want to say that when we talk about the plot of something, we're talking about, it's kind of like the hub around which everything in that story revolves. What's the main point that's being made? One time I went to a movie, I think it was called The Matrix, years ago, and I walked out in the middle of the movie because I just had no idea what was going on. I did not get the plot. Now, Bishop Robert Barron actually did a pretty good job of finally teaching me what that movie was about, especially from a Christian point of view. But the point is, I think sometimes people have that experience with Scripture. They don't seem to understand And maybe because we don't teach it well, the scripture has a plot, but specifically because they don't get it, they just see there's a bunch of disparate books and they find it confusing and they kind of, if you pardon the expression, walk away or walk out in the middle of it and get discouraged. So let's talk about a plot is something, again, like I said, that is the main point around which everything else revolves, all right? Now, let's talk about, just before I apply this to scripture, what are some, you know, literary people say that there are certain elements that make for a plot, or a certain, if you will, stages of a plot. So there's exposition, which is where you're introduced to the main characters and the main elements of the story. And then there's rising action, some sort of a conflict that enters, where the problem enters is going to be the focus of the story. All right. Then there's a kind of a climax. That's the turning point of the story. The conflict reaches its acme, or it's where the tension becomes nearly unbearable. And there's some kind of an epic struggle that takes place, and so on. Then there's falling action. During this stage, the events occur that will help to fully resolve the central conflict. And then finally, there's a resolution, the final portion of the story, where some loose ends are pulled together and tied up. All right. So those are the kind of the things that make for a plot, and also, you know, the stages, if you will, of plots. Now, with that in mind, what's going on with the scripture? So in the exposition, we start to see, as the book of Genesis opens up, that God creates man and woman in a great act of love and all of creation, and puts them in a beautiful garden, and he is his God, and they are his people, and they are there, and they have, you know, so we're introduced to the main situation. There's man, and there's God, and there's the place in which we interact with God. Then comes the kind of the rising action or the conflict, that man, tempted by the devil, lets his trust in his creator die in his heart. We willfully reject God. We suddenly, in a terrible way, turned against him. We trusted the devil and we did not trust God. Things start to completely unravel at this point. If not only do they realize they're naked and so on, but it all begins to unravel. There's a murder among their first children, and we go through the long reign of sin where evil multiplies and so on. And it gets so bad that there's a flood that God has to send in, and then from there we go on to a long period where the evil continues to multiply, and God continues to try to send prophets and others. But here comes then a climax. After all of this back and forth and this growing of evil, all of a sudden, and this climax in the Bible is a kind of a subtle one, the curtain rises, and we see in a small little backwater town of perhaps 300 people called Nazareth, that an angel dispatched from God greets a humble virgin named Mary. And all of a sudden, here comes, if you will, our Lord on his white steed and with a sword in his hand, a mighty sword of his word, to save us. And in a very crucial battle, he takes up this battle with Satan, and in a very paradoxical way, he destroys death by dying, and then he rises gloriously and shows forth and pours forth a new life of grace for us. Now in some what we call falling action, there comes, after this crucial battle and this victory, now the Lord sends out these apostles and others to the ends of the earth to tell people of the victory and invite them to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And then the final resolution, one day Christ will come again in all of his glory and gather to his own, his elect, and bring them not from to some earthly paradise, but in fact to a heavenly glory. And there's the basic plot of scripture, as briefly as I can make it, the story. There's a lot of other details and things, like, you know, the giving of the law and the details of the law and so on, but at the end of the day, that's the basic plot of scripture. And you know, I don't know I'd like to know what our listeners think. You know, do you see that scripture has a plot? Do you understand that basic storyline and how everything revolves around that plot, or do you struggle with that? And that might be an interesting thing to hear about. But I don't know, I'm just thinking what you all think, whether this makes sense, if I left elements out. Of course I did, because I had to be very brief. But
I was going to say, you invited the listeners to join us, so why don't y'all email us, morningglory@ewtn.com, or you can text the letters EWTN 55000, wait for a response, then text your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. You know, this is just always, I'm thinking, we could write our own plot in the story as well, right? Because you said before when he comes back, he's going to take all his elect. we need to write our plot to make sure we're on that path to being elect. That's what I was thinking. I was like,
make sure
I got a chance.
Your story is his story.
Right? That's I was right. like, I got that's a chance, right. yo. And so that's what I was thinking about in this. But, you know, I love how you talk about you went to the Matrix and you're like, what is this? I don't know. Was that the first Matrix or the last one? Do you remember?
The first one, yeah.
The first one, I was with you, Monsignor. I knew nothing about the movie. I walked and I was like, what? That chick stopped walking on the wall. And I was like, what is this?
What's with the glasses?
Right. But I stayed. I stayed through it. But I have to say, at least with this story that we know, this plot of scripture, we know it already has a good ending, right? But it's the drama of what's happening from the beginning of that beautiful act of love by God to the end, that other act of love by God at the end where he takes in his elect and also we see his justice. I mean, it's going to be something else. Yeah. And I was thinking, wow, that as you're describing it, I was like, that would be a blockbuster. If that were the plot of an action movie, that would
told.
Be yeah, a blockbuster.
Right.
So I think a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, you're exactly right, Gloria. How do you see your life woven in to this story? Mm-hmm. You know, because if you don't see your life tied into this, it's just a story. It's just something mm-hmm. nice to hear. But it's wonderful because, you know, I remember once I was giving a talk and at the end of this talk, this kid comes up to me who's not baptized, not Christian, anything like that. Mm. And he goes, tell me, and he just pulls me to the side, was just so excited about what I said, because he never heard the faith presented that way before, because his girlfriend, who's Catholic, keeps trying to push a catechism in his face and stuff. He goes like, wait a minute. And he just said, tell me about Jesus. And I was like, oh, the pressure's on. You know,
And so
what I did was, instead of saying, well, here's the Bible, look at Genesis, I gave him the Bible, says, start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
You know, get to know Jesus. Get to know. So the whole thing is, how do we see ourselves woven into this story? How do we see our lives integrated into God's whole plan of salvation? How do we participate in that plan by the witness of our lives?
Mm.
So, you know, and that's really important as well.
Yeah. You know, the other thing to say is that who is it that the Bible timeline
Jeff Cavins, Greater Men's Bible Timeline.
One of the things he's trying to do in that series is to get people to not get too lost in some of the details, but remember the basic storyline and continue to follow that. And then later on, you can go and plug in some of those little more arcane things in the book of Leviticus or something. But that's one aspect of it. But I want to just say, here's another thing, Deacon. You know, I think that we hear a lot, because you and I preach, we hear a lot about the kerygma, you know, which is just a jazzy Greek term for our listeners to know, which means the original preaching. What did the apostles emphasize? And, you know, there's all these, you know, jargony ways to talk about the early kerygma, but here it is, and just, you know, rather normal speak. Here it is. The kerygma is, you got it bad, and that ain't good, but there is a doctor in the house, and if you will give yourself to, and his name is Jesus, and if you'll give yourself to him, he will help you from the mess you are and the mess you have made, you know? Come to him now. Repent and be baptized. So that's the fundamental kerygma right there. It all comes down to that soteriological, that salvation, the call to salvation. And it all comes from this beautiful plot of scripture where we were once in beautiful friendship with God, and we horrifyingly sinned and set evil loose, and it really, but at a critical moment, our God came and he starts to clean it up for us, and come to him now and love him and let him save you, and one day we're going to catch you up to glory. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. How, and what is God is saying in the scripture? You know, it's not just like what the writer was trying to express, but what is God saying in and through his word? You know, that's why I think listening to the liturgy of the word in the first part of Mass is so critically important, because we're receiving Lord in the Word, who's then preparing us to receive him again, body, blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist.
I heard an old
Amen.
Story.
We're telling that story. Well, coming up next in our Morning Glory, we're going to talk about a great story out of New York City. To protect and serve, New York police officers show compassion to a shoplifter.
And we're also going to talk about sacred time. You know, what kinds of things you can do with your children before they grow up. And of course, your emails and texts. This is your show. We love to hear from our Morning Glory listeners. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com, or text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response, then text your first name, how you are listening, and your comment. And grab a cup of coffee, And we will be back here on Morning Glory.
This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from our nation's capital, this is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast with Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and Monsignor Charles Pope.
And we begin this next half hour again with prayer, and we thank you, Lord, Heavenly Father. We see in the reading today the beautiful reunion of Jacob with his son Joseph, and the celebration, the moving emotions, and help us, Lord, to know that this part of the story of Sacred Scripture will be our story too, if we're faithful, that one day we'll be reunited with you fully in the glory of heaven. And so keep us faithful, and Lord, also protect those in the Gulf regions who are now threatened by a heavy rainstorm coming in, the tropical storm Barry. Protect them all and keep them close to you in a moment of trial, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the Lord and do good, that you may dwell in the land and be fed in security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's requests. The Lord watches over the lives of the wholehearted. Their inheritance lasts forever. They are not put to shame in an evil time. In days of famine, they have plenty. Turn from evil and do good, that you may abide forever. For the Lord loves what is right and forsakes not his faithful ones. The salvation of the just is from the Lord. He is their refuge in time of distress. And the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him.
Yeah, I love that. This another song, psalm written by David. One of the longer psalms written by David. In this first section of the psalms, this is Psalm 37. These are the longer psalms that were written by David. And, you know, just David just kind of musing on the awesome fidelity of the Lord. Even when we're faithful, even when we're struggling, the Lord is always there. He's always faithful. And these are some of my favorite psalms, actually, in this section. And I just imagine just David just reflecting back on all the things that God has done in his life and just praising him with these psalms. And we have them all, in all those years ago, we still have them to this very day. And they're so important. They've been incorporated into the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And just wonderful points of reflection on God's awesome power and his mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's also a very good psalm for the storm coming in. He watches over the lives of his people. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So we got to pray for all those folks.
Right.
Well, coming up, we're going to be talking about things you can do with your children before they grow up. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Please email us, morningglory@ewtn.com, or text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response and text your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. So going into the weekend, Glory, we have a pretty good story here.
Yeah, this is such a feel-good story. I mean, and I just want to remind people, like, it's not the New York Police Department, if you all remember, stories coming out about them during the winter helping the homeless. I remember there was one viral story of a police officer paying and buying shoes to put on the feet of a homeless man during the dead of winter in New York City. And so this story to me just is another one to add in the win list. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For the New York City police officers. So I don't know if people are familiar with this store called Whole Foods. Well, it's kind of expensive, even though Amazon has, I think, bought it and trying to make it not so expensive. It's straight up expensive. Mm-hmm. And their hot bar, where you can go in and, you know, put in some food and get it weighed and pay for it and eat, is not cheap either. I think it's like $8.99 a pound. I mean, that's not cheap. Mm-hmm. So there was a woman who was in the Whole Foods store, and she was found to have had prepared food containers in her bag, and apparently she had been eating. Mm-hmm. And so the police were called, and they went up to her, and the store security guard had asked the three officers who were sitting there on a break from patrol. They were sitting in Whole Foods. The store security guard went up to them and said, "Hey, we've got this woman that's been shoplifting. It's at the Manhattan Whole Foods store." And so the police went up to her, They talked to her, and she basically started crying and told them, I'm hungry. And instead of arresting her, they said to the security officer, they said, look, we're going to pay for her food. So they escorted her to the cashier and paid about $30 to cover her meal. And they said she was extremely emotional. She was speechless. She did thank them. And the officers, one of the officers says, look, when you look at someone's face and see that they need you and they're actually hungry, it's pretty difficult as a human being to walk away from something like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were taking pictures because they're like, what's going on? And one of the persons that took pictures, it says, you know, you can imagine if we're standing there with a security guard, you'd assume the worst. But the situation completely turned around and in an instant. And he said that's what moved him to post the picture. And the police officers were like, look, we're extremely humbled by this, but we did not do this for the attention. So, I mean, what I hear this story, and I'm just so moved because, number one, they performed a corporal work of mercy. They fed the hungry. You know, this woman is in this shoplifting and hungry and crying. You know, and she's like, I'm just hungry. And it touched them. They're like, you can't look someone in the eye that's in need like that and not help them. And that's a call to all of us, right? And so I'm wondering how many times some of us ourselves have been in a situation of need and someone showed mercy to us. We'd like to hear from you about that. Or maybe a situation where, you know, some people say justice was called for, but you showed mercy. Email us. Let us know that. Let us know those stories. MorningGlory@EWTN.com or text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. Or maybe you just want to make a comment on the story. I'm wondering how this touched you all.
Yeah. I think there's it's a very beautiful and moving story as well. And I also think that it's nice to hear stories like this occasionally. We hear so many stories that do make the news about police brutality or overreach. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice to know. I want to say I often go up to police officers and firefighters and obviously to the people in the military as well. And I just thank them. But I think that I say thanks for the work you do. I know it's not easy. And even one time when a police officer wrote me a ticket for not wearing my seatbelt, he said, I got to write you a ticket. There's just no warnings for this kind of a thing. And I said, all right. And I thanked him at the end. I said, thank you. I see that you have my well-being in mind. And so even though I'm getting this fine officer, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you're looking out for me. So I think those are the kinds of things there. I think we can add, you know, to the story itself and broaden it to a certain sense that, like a priest, I often feel like, you know, are the bad guys in our group getting all the attention, and most of us are just trying to work hard every day and don't get the attention. I think the same must be true for police and firefighters and members of the military as well, that we hear about some of the atrocities, and they're bad, and they should be condemned. But we also don't always hear about the just the little small acts of fidelity and faithfulness and helpfulness that these folks do.
Yeah, you know, and having worked in law enforcement for most of my career before leaving 7 years ago and speaking and writing full time, you know, this is something I wanted my officers to do as well, to look at the whole person, you know, and not just treat everybody like they're a perpetrator, but to see the humanity, you know, in the situation that they find themselves in. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, we're on a college campus working with students. You know, they're basically they're young adults trying to fit into their adult clothes, and the adult clothes are too big for them. Right? So, and so they're going to make mistakes. And I said, you know, they need to learn from us in the classroom of real life. You know, yes, we need to, so they learn in those situations. Yes, it's always better to tell the truth than to lie. Mm-hmm. It's always better to accept responsibilities for your mistake and learn from those mistakes here in this environment before you leave this place and it costs you a job or a career or a family or a reputation. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're always looking for opportunities to help people grow and to see the humanity in people. It's just beautiful to see that these officers did that. You know, mm-hmm. And this is something that this woman could pay forward now and just remember how awesome, how merciful, how loving mm-hmm. God is working through these officers, and maybe she can pay it forward.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, you know, that there could be, how do you respond when people are like, you know, but she broke the law.
Yeah.
She broke the law. Why shouldn't she face some consequence? Mm-hmm. What would be the...
Yeah. I think that it's a. Now, again, I don't know the full story of this woman, so, but let's just say that there is a general principle in terms of, you know, moral law, and St. Thomas and others pointed out, which is that when a person is truly, honestly hungry and others have plenty, it isn't necessarily stealing to take what you really need. In situations like that. And, of course, this is not something that we just, you know, throw out as a blanket
right.
approval. This is in under restricted circumstances, but the need is urgent and there's no other lawful way or what have you. Now, so one may say, well, she should go to the local soup kitchen and so on. So there are complexities, but, you know, we all agree that this much at least, that sometimes the context and the circumstances can lower a person's culpability or blameworthiness for something wrong that they do. And she sounds like she was kind of desperate and so on. So I don't know, Deacon. That's my take. But
I agree. And you know, it's about holding people accountable, but also showing kindness and mercy to a person. Looking at the situation, each situation is different. Yeah, she broke the law but she didn't walk out the store. At least at that point, they didn't try to walk out the store with. He was just hungry, you know. And sometimes when hunger or when you're in a situation like that, leads to some desperate actions, you know. But at least they could see the humanity. She didn't try to rob the place or anything like that.
Right.
She just was hungry, and that's just a basic human thing, you know. And so and here's the thing. I bet you she won't do that again. Now after she saw this. You know, you say, God was merciful to me. Now I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to grow from this. And maybe I can do some things differently. You know, because I remember we had a woman in our St. Vincent de Paul clothing and food bank that we have at our parish who was a regular. And then, you know, things changed for her. And she never forgot what we did for her. She actually came back and actually started volunteering to help in our parish and eventually came to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
You know, so she went from being someone who we were serving food to being an active, dynamic member of our parish, and even contributed when she got a job, contributed financially to help other people. I mean, that's that's what the goodness of the Lord is all about.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, and I have to say, you know, I think, you know, this is when people have you sometimes act with your heart, you know, in these cases, and you see that this was a person that was hungry. And, you know, yeah, of course, they could have chosen to arrest her and whatnot, but they chose the path of mercy. And it's something for us to think about. It's something for us to think about. And I'm praying for her, and I'm praying for the officers. And I'm praying for anybody else that was touched by that story. You know, maybe we could be a better society if we had more acts of mercy and generosity and kindness when people need it. You know, I'm like, and when don't we need it? Right?
Yeah.
So I just thought it was an interesting story to share. And kudos to the New York City Police Department officers involved in feeding the hungry in that case at super expensive Whole Foods.
Yeah, it is expensive.
Right.
We have quite a few of them here in Oregon, and they are expensive, you know.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
You know,
well, I'm excited about what else we're having coming up on the show. This is going to be, Deacon, I'm going to tell you, I'm having out my pen and paper when you start talking.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to talk about things you can do with your children before they grow up. How do you foster an atmosphere of instilling family values into your children's hearts that they're going to bring into their own families one day? When we stay that for more, Morning Glory.
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. It's quarter till. We're your morning cup of coffee for your soul. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
Yep, you're listening to Morning Glory on this Friday morning. Hey, guys, I'm going to be on Catholic Answers Live tonight with Cy Kellett. I'd love for you to join us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. You know, we started the day together. Let's end the day together. This will be great.
Right.
I am Gloria Purvis, and I'm the luckiest lady alive because I got two really great men with me this morning, the dynamic Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is my co-host, and our godly counsel is Monsignor Charles Pope, who's a pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Church right here in D.C. And we'd love for you to join the conversation. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name, how you're listening, and comment. And then I'll also be tweeting out links to this story at Gloria_Purvis.
Well, you can tell I'm a little bit tongue-tied this morning. The truth be told, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. My kids were out late. They were, and during the summer in Oregon here, they have Portland. They have something called Movies in the Park. Mm-hmm. And so you can go to a park and they show these outdoor movies and things like that. So the kids are out. And I didn't want to go to bed till they were all home safe. You know, they're doing the parent thing.
Yes.
And so that actually leads to this next story. You know, often you see these bumper stickers. My kid's an honor student, or my kid's a soccer star, or whatever. And, you know, and I often wonder, though, you know, what are we doing as a family? You know, what are we doing to foster, you know, real quality family time that doesn't involve a television set, you know, it doesn't involve a smartphone, you know. So here's some ideas, that some of these that we've done ourselves in our family, and some that I wish we would have done that, you know. So for example, planting a flower or a vegetable garden, or even a tree. Like, we did that. We planted a tree. Now, I'm from Jersey, right? We don't plant trees, you know? But when we came out here and we bought our house, my wife said, oh, let's plant a tree. I ain't planting no tree. What are you talking about? You know, but we planted this tree, and the twins were four when we bought this house. And so, you know, and so now the tree is growing, now that the twins are 16, and, you know, we can go out and look at that tree. Oh, I remember, Daddy, we planted that tree. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know? It's kind of a little memory of our family, you know, beautiful thing like that. Or something that we do as a family, work on a large, difficult puzzle together. It's like a Christmas tradition. Every year we get the, you know, there's like 1,000-piece puzzles. And, you know, we sit down and work on putting it together over the Christmas holidays, you know, different things like that. And one thing I wish we would have done, especially with my mom, is record videos where we interview each other. I wish I would have spent more time just learning about my mother's background and my father's too, in Barbados. What was it like growing up in Barbados, poor, in the 1930s? You know, what was life like back then? What was, when you became a nurse, mommy, what was it like when you were first a nurse? What kind of things did you do? What kind of people did you, I mean, I just wish we would have done more of that. And you know, another thing, especially in Oregon, very popular, playing in the rain. You know, you can tell. You can always tell who's not from Oregon because they got an umbrella. You know, just simple little things like that that are building memories. And there's others too, but I'd love to hear what our listeners have to say, and also what you guys maybe would have done, or some things you've done in your own families.
You know, the puzzle thing. We do the puzzle thing with our daughter, and one thing that we notice is her little eagle eyes can get those puzzle pieces so quick. And I'm like, how did she see that? Did you, you know, I'm like, maybe just the young eyes. I don't know. So we did that. We did the flower and vegetable garden as well. Actually, I remember one Father's Day, before Father's Day, she and I ran out and got some pots and all this dirt. And we made a special flower arrangement for my husband, her father. And another thing that we've done is we got together with her and made cement stepping stones for the garden. And bought all these like pieces of, like, you know, shiny stuff that she can design it however she wants. And so we have those actual concrete steps for the garden. Another thing that we did with her is I just have to laugh because I look crazy in a lot of the pictures that we did with her. We had her make like a little family picture each year. So you see, she's little and she's with us, and we'll have the different pictures. And, I mean, I just have to laugh because we see the changes in ourselves as well as the change in her. And they're just such nice memories. You know, the other thing that we did with our daughter is we encouraged her to write. And so she writes little stories. And we save those story booklets and whatnot and have those.
Yeah. Of course, these are good things. But I would say there's also, we all should not forget the standing orders, right? you know, read Bible stories to your kids.
or go to
church together.
Well, yeah.
Or actually sit down occasionally and have a meal together. I mean, those are kind of almost like standing orders, but they're the things that, again, you know, we've lost so much of that. And I asked my own parents, you know, in our Sunday school program, how many of you read Bible stories to your kid? And, you know, not a single hand goes up. I said, how many times have you heard me ask you to read Bible stories to your kid? Oh, they always kind of nod.
Yeah.
You know, life comes at you fast. You know, I know.
Yeah,
all the more reason
true.
To say, time out.
They have such great Bible stuff now. My husband, I don't know where he found this stuff. When she was really a little baby, he found this, it looks like a comic book, and it's a super thick Bible that has been made a graphic novel. And so it had all these wonderful pictures to go through the Bible with her. Some of the pictures we had to skip because we were like, she's going to freak out when she sees what the apocalypse looks like.
Yeah.
But, you know, but we could show it to her at some point. But to be able to read the Bible stories to her and show her what looks like a graphic cartoon and, you know, let her talk about it. I mean, those are fun things. And Deacon, I love the thing that I still remember what you do with your family is look at the readings before Mass, during the week. I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have like Monsignor, someone having dinner together. We sit around the table and just read the gospel for the coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, and we just talk about it. I wouldn't exegete or anything like that. We just talk about it, you know, and then they would, so we went to Mass on Sunday, they wouldn't be hearing the gospel for the first time. And then they'd be listening to the homily. Ooh, I wonder if Father's going to talk about what we talked about, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and other things you could do, bring your kids to your hometown where you grew up. Yeah. We had a great time doing that for me, bringing back to Jersey and looking at the house where Daddy grew up and that kind of stuff. And, or creating a family tradition. Yeah. Which we've also done in our family, especially around the holidays and Christmas time. And learn to play an instrument. And that's the thing. We all play instruments. We all sing in our family. And so we have family jams and things like that. We're all playing. I mean, just things like that. You know, it's just wonderful ways just to be family.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We've got a lot of great emails here. We heard from, regarding the plot of the gospel, Mike emailed. He says, to Monsignor, he says, excellent description. The entire Old Testament shows us a king who wants his subjects to be faithful. When we aren't, make bad choices, we self-destruct, and finally, we are given a faithful king in Jesus. And what do we do to him? Kill him. Mm. Excellent, Monsignor Pope. Excellent.
All right. Amen. There's also the idea of fathers and sons, you know, as in children, you know, with God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it says here. So Bobby Mills says, I follow your discussion about the Frenchman situation.
Oh yeah, that was yesterday, Lambert, right?
Yeah. And he says, I know very little about how God expects us to die. Oh yeah, gosh. Does he tell us to die a natural death or that we should go to any extreme to prolong life? Again, we this was a very different thing there. You know, they actually starved him to death. It was an active starving of somebody to death.
Yeah.
And that's, we're not required to put endless ventilators, et cetera. But, you know, by gosh, you know, you can't starve somebody to death.
Yeah. Basic hydration and nutrition.
Yeah.
That was basic. Basic care.
Yeah, Doug from Louisiana said, thank you for recognizing the NYPD officer's actions. Every day my brothers in blue perform acts of kindness, not for recognition, because it's the right thing to do. Right now, thousands of law enforcement officers, including myself, are preparing for the worst and are activated for Tropical Storm Barry. Mm-hmm. So again, our prayers go out with all the folks down there preparing for that.
And we heard from Verna regarding immigration. She emailed, thank you for speaking to this issue. It is shameful and illegal when people try to take advantage of our generosity and goodness and come in illegally. As a country, we are the most generous in letting legal immigrants come here. Let's protect and guard the sanctity of our country and its borders. Let me just say this. We aren't saying that all immigrants that come are bad people, that all the people who don't come here legally are bad people. But we're saying we want to be able to make sure we can keep out the bad people.
All right. Yeah, we had some tweets also about the Catholic school situation we talked about. Basically, look, let's make sure that those who teach in our schools, you know, share our values. Amen to that.
Amen.
Well, listen, in the gospel today, the Lord says, look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. You know, don't be scared, y'all. Just be sober and realize we won't always get a lot of love from the world, but preach the gospel anyway. And may Almighty God bless all who listen, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.